So next week, really going to have a special day here. I hope you'll be here. My brother-in-law, Jerry Helton, is going to be leading, preaching for us that day. Here's Jerry. Wait a minute, how did this picture get in here? There's Jerry, right there. And this is my nephew, Tristan. And the other two guys, I don't really know. I think they're from your church, aren't they? Yeah, they were off on a bringing home the bacon trip here. And just as a side note, if any of our guys want to plan something like that for us, that would be cool. That would be cool. Okay. There's Jerry. Oh, he is going to preach for us next week, so he is the preacher at the City West Church of Christ in Orlando, Florida. So he'll be here with us next week. That'll be great. So we started exploring our theme for the year, back to basics, a few weeks ago. Back to basics, B2B, not born to be wild. The idea is that maybe it would be a good idea to look at some of the basic, the fundamental, the foundational aspects of our faith, and do that to make sure we've got a good grasp on these matters, to make sure we've got good footing there, to make sure that we have a reasonable understanding of the basics to the extent that we could even talk about them. Talk about some of those things if, or when I should say, when the opportunity presents itself. And I say when the opportunity presents itself because if we are indeed serious about living as followers of Jesus, then one of the things we ought to be praying for is exactly that, an opportunity. An opportunity to speak some good news into the life of someone who is desperately seeking that good news, that living water, seeking that salt and that light that God has called us to be. If you pray that prayer for an opportunity, can you guess what's going to happen? Nobody can guess. You're going to get the opportunity. You're going to get it. The question will be then, will you recognize it when it happens? Pray that you will. Are you tired of hearing no every time you pray? Well, let me suggest, quit praying about yourself. Quit praying for yourself. Start saying some kingdom prayers. Start praying for kingdom opportunities. Start praying for God's will to be done in your life. That's when you're going to start hearing God saying yes to your prayers. Well, none of that was the sermon for the day. All that was lanyap, as we like to say, right? Thrown in for free. You're welcome. That's just how we do it things down here, right? So, maybe some of that will have an application later on. We'll see. But it certainly qualifies, doesn't it, as part of our back to basics, isn't it? And speaking of back to basics, don't forget, we got a theme song this year for it.
Maybe it's time we got back to the basics of love.
Remember that? Y'all remember that? Basics of love, or church, whatever. It's about the same thing there. Anyway, if you remember, last couple of times we talked about this theme. It's been a couple of weeks, but we were looking at the church. It's kind of where we started, the church, or the ekklesia. Remember, that's the word, the Greek word, that's translated as church throughout the New Testament. The ekklesia, or which means the called out assembly. Called out assembly. It's a church. Or as Peter says in this verse that we've been looking at, but you are a chosen race, the king's priests, the holy nation, God's own people, chosen to proclaim the wonderful acts of God who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. We talked about how, though, even though the church is the called out assembly of people, and even though people, when you get them together, particularly different kinds of people, which is describes all of us, you're just asking for trouble, aren't you? You're just asking for problems when people come together. But that's not how God views the church. Remember, God sees the church this way. Christ did this so that the church might stand before him in shining greatness. Shining greatness. I hope that you spent the last few weeks since we talked about this thinking about the church, thinking about our church in the way that God sees and thinks about the church, the way he thinks about our church, in shining greatness. I hope this has been the way that you've been speaking about the church, our church, when you leave and talk to other people about your church. I hope you're talking about the shining greatness that is the Tammany Oaks Church of Christ. I hope you are. Anyway, and then back on April 3rd, we talked about how the church, each church building, even our homes, are actually embassies of heaven here on earth. Remember, we talked about that and how we are the ambassadors from this verse. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. Certain that God is appealing through us. We plead on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. And as Christ's ambassadors here, our mission, as Dr. Tony Evans says, is this. The job of the church is to draw heaven into history. Draw heaven into history. We briefly talked about how all those ambassadors who came before us, all those ambassadors from heaven who came before us, accomplished this task. They actually drew heaven into history in so many ways. In the way we educate people, in the equality that we feel for everybody, and in many other ways. Making the world, as bad as it seems right now, so much better than it ever was. And clearly the work is not yet done. As God's ambassadors, we still have much to proclaim. Amen? So anyway, that gets us all caught up now. We're all on the same page. We're all caught up now. What we've been looking at so far in our Back to Basics journey. But before we go on to other things that could be considered as basics, well, I want to talk about one more thing related to the church. Talk about that today. And this one is so basic. It is so fundamental. It is so elementary that I hesitate to even mention it to you guys. Because you're going to think, this isn't elementary. This is kindergarten. This is nursery school. This is cradle roll stuff. Is that the way you really think about us? No, not really. And actually, I guess I'm not even really talking to any of you who are here today. Because this topic doesn't apply to any of you who are here today. Of course, I'm talking about this question. Why go to church? Why go to church? I told you that this doesn't apply to you, or you, or you. You're here. You're here. And the folks who aren't here, well, I guess they're never going to hear any of this stuff, are they? And so some of you are thinking, well, so why didn't he shut up and sit down? That's a fair question. But maybe you're going to get something out of this anyway, that maybe you can use someday. I hope so. Age-old issue of church attendance. And let me hasten to add that Christianity is not just about church attendance. And as I say that, my sisters and my nephew who are here and other people who are visiting are looking around at all these empty chairs and saying, well, your congregation got that point, all right. They got that point that it's not just about church attendance. Well, it's worth repeating. Christianity is not just about church attendance. Jesus Christ did not leave heaven, come to earth, and live on this earth, die on the cross, and come back to life, and save us just for this. He didn't do it just for this that we do on Sundays, maybe occasionally on Wednesdays. That can't be all there is to it, can it? No, it's not. But we are God's masterpiece, created in the Messiah Jesus to perform good actions that God prepared long ago to be our way of life. I love the way that this translation, the International Standard Version, translates and expresses this idea. Other versions say that we're God's work, we're God's workmanship, we are His creation. He made us, that type of thing. And those are all valid and reasonable interpretations. But this idea that we are God's masterpiece goes a little bit deeper. Actually, a lot deeper. Masterpiece. A masterpiece is a thing of great and lasting value, isn't it? Great and lasting worth. It's an original. It's a one of a kind. It's a treasure. Jesus said, wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. We're God's masterpiece. We're God's treasure. Whoever Paul is talking about here, that's where God's heart is. You have God's heart. So who is Paul talking about here? Well, in one sense, he's talking about each and every one of us individually. Each of us who have been in Christ, as he says here. You also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. So he's talking about those people who are saved, who are in Christ. But really, it's bigger than that. It's more than that. We are the masterpiece. All of us together are the masterpiece. The church is the masterpiece. The church is God's treasure. The church is where God's heart is. And that was part of this song that David led just before I came up here. How in the world does anyone think that it's okay not to be in the church? To not gather with the church where God's heart is. So what's the church supposed to be about? What's the church supposed to be doing? Well, let's read it. What he says here, we, the church, the ecclesia, the called out assembly, God's masterpiece, are supposed to be performing good actions, good works, good deeds, some versions say. You see that here? To perform good actions that God prepared long ago. And not just to be something we do occasionally, but to be our way of life. The church's way of life. Good deeds. It's not just helping little old ladies cross the street, although that's part of it. Not just picking up trash or mowing somebody's yard, although that's part of it. Or fixing a leaky faucet like some amazing brother did in my house this week. Not just fixing windows and siding like a couple of amazing brothers have done for me over the last few weeks. Not just doing a day's worth of carpentry work like an amazing brother did at my house yesterday. Not just bringing me food like many of y'all have done. Not just sitting with my little boy like many of you have done. It includes all that. And I'm so grateful for all that. But it's more than that, too. It's more than that. It's the things which make an eternal difference. An eternal difference. What he's talking about here. A few weeks ago, one of you told me that all he wants anymore out of life, this is all he wants anymore, is to be humble, to be helpful, and to be happy. And he said, and if I can do the first two things, being humble and helpful, then the other one, being happy, is just going to happen automatically. And I said, that'll preach. That'll preach, right? And that is part of what Paul's talking about here. But it's more than that. It's more than that. Our way of life, the way of life of the church, our way of life together as the church should be this. And we could talk endlessly probably about what that might look like for the Tammany Oaks Church of Christ. And I think we need to spend some time doing just that. Talking about and listening to and trying to discern God's will and His calling on Tammany Oaks for what type of good actions we need to be involved in. But isn't it strange that if this, doing good deeds, doing good actions, is supposed to be the way of life of the church, isn't it strange that somehow or another the church seems to have developed a bad reputation amongst people out in the world? How did that happen? Because even worldly people, even bad people, can recognize good things when they see it. How did this happen? Is it possible that somewhere along the way, the church lost track of its true calling to be performing good actions that God prepared for us to do? Did the church stop being known for doing good and start being known for something else? Is that just the perception that people out in the world have of the church, or is that really something that the church has aided them in seeing that we're now being known for something that's not really good? Do you think that needs to change? Do you think that Tammany Oaks needs to be a part of that change? Well, notice something else about this verse. All this was set up long ago. You see that there? God prepared this long ago. And that means that your presence here in this church is not an accident. It's part of God's eternal plan. And that plan does not begin and end with us showing up occasionally on a Sunday morning and sometimes on a Wednesday night. Now, some of you might have picked up on this phrase, good actions, good deeds. You might be thinking, man, I've heard that somewhere before. Where else? Where else is that? Well, I'm glad you asked. Look at this verse here. Let us continue to consider how to motivate one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another even more as you see the day of the Lord coming nearer. Well, there it is. Good deeds, right there, smack in the middle of the only command in the entire New Testament. The only one that requires attendance at the meeting of the church. And by the way, it's a command, but this is the only one in the New Testament. Only verse in the New Testament that requires meeting. together. You'd have thought that the writers of the New Testament would have made sure that they wrote that into every letter to make sure that everybody knew what the command was. But this is it. And I looked for, hoping I would find some more, but this is the only one. This is the only one. I mean, it's almost like the writers of the New Testament never even thought that it would be a problem. They never thought it would be a problem. Of course they're going to gather together whenever the church meets. Of course they're going to do that. They're going to do it gladly. We're not going to have to force them to do it. They're going to do it gladly. And sure enough, when you look at the first church, the Jerusalem Church of Christ that was formed on the day of Pentecost, they're meeting together every day. Every day. That 3,000 plus member Church of Christ is meeting together every day. They're taking communion every day. You couldn't keep them away from each other. They wanted to be together every day. They wanted to be with each other. They saw it as a great blessing, not a great burden. Come a long way since those days, hadn't we? I say to you who are here, well, let's play this game. If you had everything you needed, everything you wanted, and had one wish, what would you wish for? You don't have to say anything out loud. I can see your wheels turning a little bit. But what would you wish for? Well, oddly enough, this is where Israel's King David found himself one day. Had everything he needed, everything he wanted. He's the king. So he wrote a song about this. What would I do if I had one wish? He wrote a song about it. And God was so impressed with what he wrote. Of course, the Spirit was leading him, obviously. But God made sure that that wish that he wrote down was going to be preserved for 3,000 years so that we could read it today. So that we could today marvel at its simple and yet profound wisdom. So that we could wonder if maybe we could ever come to a point in our lives where this would be our one wish too. What do you think it was? Well, let's read it. I'm asking the Lord for only one thing. Here's what I want. I want to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. I want to look at the beauty of the Lord. I want to worship Him in His temple. That was his one wish. To live, to be constantly in God's house, seeing, learning of Him, worshiping Him. What a wish. Is that my wish? Is that your wish? I love how this verse is translated in the version called The Voice. I'm pleading with the Eternal for this one thing, my soul's desire, to live with Him all of my days in the shadow of His temple, to behold His beauty and ponder His ways in the company of His people. David the king doesn't want to worship alone, by himself. He desires, his one and only wish is to worship with the people. Not just the high and the mighty. Not just with the super spiritual ones. Not just with the ones who've got everything together in their life. But with all of God's people. including the weak, including the lonely seeking a friend, including sinners seeking mercy, including the grieving seeking comfort, including the poor seeking strength for another day, including the rich seeking to share their blessings, including all of the family of God. You know, I guess it's possible to worship alone when circumstances make that your only option. But for David, for the writers of the New Testament, gathering with the church, that was just a given. It was just a given. Practically every time the Apostle Paul writes the word "you" in any of his writings, what he's really writing is all of you. That's the better interpretation, is all of you. Or y'all. That's what Paul is saying. Every time you see the word "you," think of, he means us, really. He means all of us. If you look at all of the many one another passages in the New Testament, and there are many of them, they presume that all the believers are going to be gathered together in the churches wherever they live. Christians are designed for community. We come to Christ individually, but that's not how we live in Christ. We live in Christ in community with, in common union with, in communion with the ecclesia, the sacred called out assembly, the people who together form the church, the body of Christ. So why go to church? It's a question that when you hear it, you realize that the person asking the question doesn't have a good grasp on the basic, fundamental truth of the church. And now that you've been here today, you can help somebody grab onto that truth. And now maybe we can see that this commandment to attend is not just another one of those joy-robbing commands, things that we just have to put up with. But it's a wonderful, joy-bringing opportunity to be with God's people, to share your gifts and blessings with them, to be encouraged and strengthened and prepared by their gifts and blessings shared with you. And so I pray, like David is praying here, David's one wish to gather and worship with all of the people of God will become your wish and will become my wish. You know what? I think that's another prayer that God's going to be happy to say yes to. Don't you? Let's stand and sing and encourage each other.